This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. On the show today, we welcome our financial expert, Leibel Sternbach. He's here to talk about your retirement plans. We also listen to some great information from AARP Twin Cities and their state director, Kathy McClear. Cassie Crandall is here too with a lifestyle update. Also today's words to the wise and our national day. All this and more on New Beginnings. And our show starts right now. Dr. Michael Ulster, home epidemiologist, joins us today on New Beginnings. He's telling us that globally, COVID cases are declining, but we're still not out of the woods yet.
On a worldwide basis, COVID case and deaths are continuing their downward descent, which has been a fairly consistent pattern we've seen throughout the past several months. As a reminder, during the original Omicron surge in January, reported weekly cases surpassed 23 million. And weekly deaths reached 77,000. Compare that to last week's numbers, where cases stood at around 3.1 million, not 23 million, and deaths were below 10,000, not 77,000. And you can see where the past 4 months have taken us. Now, for all of you who will challenge these numbers, saying they are incomplete, that they surely don't represent all the cases that have occurred, all the deaths that have occurred, I agree wholeheartedly. But I think that the trend data does tell us a real story. For context, considering the following. As of this Tuesday, the global death toll for last week, according to the World Health Organization's dashboard, stands at around 8,000. Now, due to slight lags in reporting and the fact that it's somewhat early in the week, there's a chance that this toll could be slightly higher. Nonetheless, a weekly death toll of around 8,000 or even 9,000 would be the lowest we've seen since the start of the pandemic. And to help put that into perspective, just compare it to some of the daily death tolls we've reported in the past. On January 24th, 2021, average daily deaths from COVID worldwide reached a record 14,800. In addition, from November 7th, 2020 to June 28th, 2021, or a span of 233 consecutive days, the average daily death toll never dropped below 8,000. So while I by no means want to minimize any one of these 8,000 COVID deaths reported last week, it's certainly preferable to those times when this virus was killing many more than 8,000 people on a daily basis. However, at the same time, I still think there's a lot of progress that can and should be made. And I'm also aware of just how quickly this virus could wipe away any progress that's been made to date. So despite the overall pattern of declines, I think it's important to keep monitoring those outliers that are seeing increases or facing notable challenges from the virus, since they might best provide insight on where we stand moving forward. Never forget, we are still in an incredible tug of war between our human immune system and the evolutionary pressures of this virus. And between the two, we are still not quite sure where one day's equilibrium might actually exist. So in order to better understand that, let me just briefly run through a few different examples of what's happening internationally.
Dr. Osterholm, what's your read on what's going on in the United States with regard to COVID, and what do you think could be coming our way in the next few weeks and in the next few months?
Well, let me begin the answer to this question by making a very important statement, which by now should probably be old news, and that is, it is very difficult to predict things about the future when your crystal ball that you use every day has 5 inches of caked mud on it. Right now, average daily reported U.S. cases are hovering around 100,000 a day, and we all know the actual number of daily cases is much higher. I, for example, can continue to state for the past 7 to 10 days, I know of more new infections with COVID than any time in a similar 7 to 10 day period since the pandemic began. Most of these have been confirmed by lateral flow tests at home, or they're epi-related cases, meaning someone brought it into the household, and within 3 to 5 days, many other members were infected. So we know we have lots of transmission out there. We know that we're missing those cases. This is why I've continued to keep my eyes focused on the next best indicator of what's happening, and that, of course, is hospitalizations and deaths. Right now, the CDC's community transmission map that we've talked about is overwhelmingly red. This virus is definitely not going away. 2 weeks ago also marked the takeover of BA2.12.1 as the dominant subvariant in the U.S. At that point, the CDC was not tracking separately BA4 and BA5 subvariants that are now variants of concern. The CDC, as of this past week, is now separating the two in their prevalence data. BA5 made up 8% of the newly reported cases last week, and BA4 made up 5% of the new cases. BA2.12.1 continues to be a dominant strain, making up 62% of new cases. These variants are certainly something to keep an eye on in the coming weeks and months. I'm convinced, particularly what we've seen in Europe, that we will see BA4 and BA5 becoming the dominant subvariants within the next several weeks. Currently, the U.S. is reporting 2.3 new daily hospitalizations per 100,000 and an average of 29,000 people hospitalized for COVID in a given day, or about 9 per 100,000. This is 12% higher than 2 weeks ago. But if you take a step back and again look at the 29,000 figure for hospitalizations that we're talking about now, and compare that to what we just saw in January, where on January 28th, we had 158,838 people hospitalized in the United States with COVID. Big difference between 158,000 and 29,000. If you look at the ICU bed numbers, they're slightly increased, with 3,100 patients in ICUs on a daily basis for COVID in the U.S. 11% of the patients for hospitalized with COVID are in the ICU, which has been consistent over the past month. And just again, let me remind you in context with the 3,100 patients in ICUs now, how that compares with that same January 28th experience when we had 26,249 individuals in ICU beds in this country. Big difference from 3,100 now. And if we look at daily deaths, they are staying relatively steady, now at 326 lives lost on an average day, which is 2% lower than it was 2 weeks ago, but far below the peak on, again, January 28th of 3,280 deaths a day. So this is all good news. Clearly, we are seeing lots of transmission with a much less severe picture at hand. And the question will be, with viral evolution and waning immunity in humans, what does it look like for the future? So let me get to your question about my take on all this. As I said at the beginning, I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you that this pandemic is not over, and trying to declare it as such would be a huge mistake. It's a deja vu all over again for me. Remember a year ago right now, hammered pretty hard, when I said in mid-June that I thought that some of the darkest days of the pandemic could still be ahead of us because of the unknown impact of the variants. I still don't know what's going to happen over the next 6 to 12 months. What happens if Pi and Sigma show up, which are very different variants than even Omicron, and ultimately have other characteristics for transmissibility and or the ability to cause illness? Just don't know what's going to happen. So right now, though, we are in a period of uncertainty with BA4 and BA5, and I really can't predict over the next 6 weeks how this is going to play out or how this could change the bigger picture.
Dr. Michael Osterholm joining us. Thank you so much for being with us.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now it's time for I Bet You Didn't Know That. Did you hear about the Colorado woman who's been keeping a potato in her freezer for 5 years? Lori Bricks refused to chop up the spud when she was making hash browns back in 2017 because she thought it was so friendly looking that she just had to keep it. So she put it in her freezer where it's been living ever since. The potato features clearly defined eyes, nostrils, and a smiling mouth. And Lori and her husband even gave it a name, Pete. Lori wants to keep Pete for another 5 years so she can do another photo shoot that will mark a decade since she found it. You heard that right. Another photo shoot. Back in 2017, after sparing the spud, Lori and her husband threw together an impromptu photo shoot featuring pictures of Pete reclining in a chair, sitting at her dinner table, and watching TV. Here's a question. Would you take $2,000 to have cockroaches released in your home? The pest informer based in North Carolina says it's seeking 5 or 6 homeowners. The trial will last about 30 days and the pest control team will use traditional methods to eliminate the roaches if the experimental techniques prove unsuccessful. The company also says that all tested cockroach treatments will be family and pet safe. Here's our tweet of the week. If you're not a scientist and you disagree with scientists about science, it's actually not a disagreement. Science isn't truth. Science is finding the truth. When science changes its opinion, it didn't lie to you. It just simply learned more. And Amazon packages you receive later this year could be delivered by a drone, not a driver, at least if you live in one California town. That's because Amazon will soon start making deliveries via Prime Air using drones beginning in Lockford, California later this year. Customers there will see items available for Prime Air delivery on Amazon. They'll make purchases as usual, and a drone will fly to the designated delivery location. The device will descend into the customer's backyard, hover and release the package and fly back up again. Amazon says its drones have a sense and avoid system that helps them spot both stationary and moving objects to avoid colliding with people, pets, other aircraft, and other obstacles. The drones course correct if they identify obstacles in order to avoid them, and when descending at a customer's home, they make sure the surrounding area is empty for landing. And we're clear for landing, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Libel, hello, and welcome back to our program.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. And I'm just really excited that at least right here, summer seems to be trying to take hold. But sometimes it says, not so much. But I'm grateful that it's trying anyway.
That's all we can hope for, right?
Indeed. Indeed. And as we talk about the weather, let's talk about how now is a season for talking about retiring. I know a lot of folks are going out right now. So what should you do, Libel, with a 401k when you're ready to retire?
So when you're ready to retire, or honestly, at the point that you separate from your employer, you now have the ability to take control of your 401k. And really, there's only two options open to you. Option number one is keep it with your employer if they let you. Right. And you can keep it invested however you want using their website. Usually you have limited control and limited access and you're subject to their whims. So that's option number one. Right. Don't do anything. Option number two is take it over. And the technical term is to roll it over. And you can then roll that over into an individual retirement account. And when you roll it over to your individual retirement account, you can now manage it yourself, just like you manage your own brokerage account or your own bank account.
That's really interesting. So there are some steps that you need to go through when you're ready to retire. You know, it's interesting, Libel. I've heard a lot of people talking about saying that they should spend down their investments first before taking any money out of their retirement accounts, before doing anything about rolling over. Others say the opposite. What side do you come down on, or do you have a completely different perspective?
Where do I come down on the question of what should you spend down and how you should spend it down? Is that the question?
Yes.
So that is an interesting question. And I'll be honest, like most things when it comes to financial planning, when it comes to, you know, investment advice and what you should do, there is the easy answer that if you go out in the media, right, you start Googling, you're going to find the easy answer. People shouting from the billboards, from the rooftops, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to, whatever plan of action they want to tell you to do. They're going to say it with, such enthusiasm and such conviction that you're going to believe that you absolutely have to do that, and you'd be crazy not to do it any other way. And if you keep looking, you will find every single opinion stated that way. So you will then wonder to yourself, what should you actually do? The truth is that the answer to this question varies from person to person. It really depends on how old you are. It depends how much money you have. It depends how much income you're going to have in retirement. Because the real question that everyone is trying to answer, or everyone is trying to solve for, is how do I get the most money in retirement, and how do I make my money last as long as possible throughout retirement, right? That is what we all want. And the answer to that question is going to vary from person to person of how do we accomplish that. In the real kind of, variable in there is how much money do we have that is taxable income in retirement? And more specifically, how much money do we have that Congress controls how much we have to take in retirement? See, there's this thing called required minimum distributions, which we've talked about repeatedly on the show. Mm-hmm. And required minimum distributions, or RMDs, is this spigot that Congress has attached to your retirement accounts. They don't let that you just keep your money in there forever. They say when you retire, when you reach an age that they have specified, you need to start taking money out at a rate that they have specified. So when you are looking at your retirement accounts, ideally you want to make sure that the amount of money that you have to take out of your retirement accounts in those age years where you got to take RMDs, you want to make sure that it is less than the amount that you need in income during retirement. And ideally, you want to try to get that to be as low as possible, because that's going to get taxed as the highest tax bracket. So the answer for you is going to be different than your friend, right? Because if you're, let's say, in the 10% tax bracket, and your friend is going to end up being in the 22% tax bracket because of how much income they need in retirement, or because of how much Social Security they get, or because of their pension, then the answer is going to be different for them than it's going to be for you. Because for you, you only have a 10% tax penalty, or maybe a 0%, right, tax hit on that income that you're taking. And so you're fine. And let that money grow tax-free. Let it grow without, worry of buying in and selling and long-term and short-term gains, right? That's the ideal way to invest, and not worry about taxes. But for somebody where they're going to have a higher tax rate in retirement, they want to make sure that they're being as tax efficient as possible.
Right. So it's important to have all this information in, and then make a really study or develop a plan with your financial planner to make sure that you're in the right lane. I'll just use that that idea. You're in the right lane to make sure that you're having the least exposure to taxes. So everybody, we're talking with Libel Sternbach. We're talking about what should you do with your 401k when you retire. And there's a question here. What about mortgage payments and other debts? Is there an order in which we should handle those two kinds of expenses that we have liable?
So there are several thoughts on that. Before we get to that, I do want to finish addressing the question of, you know, rollovers and taxes.
Yes.
So when you take over your 401k accounts, something you want to keep in mind, right? So first of all, it's super simple to take it over because every bank and every brokerage firm in the world wants you to put their money, your money with them. So they're going to facilitate that transaction and make it as easy as possible. So having said that, don't worry about, you know, what forms you got to fill out. Just tell them you want to give them your money and they'll tell you, they'll fill it out for you. That's number one. But number two is when you do that transfer, you want to make sure that you do what's called a custodian to custodian transfer. And that means that the 401k company is going to send the money directly to your new bank, not to you, right? You don't want the check to come to you and then you deposit in the new bank, because if it's done directly from bank to bank, there's no tax withholdings. There's no potential tax penalties. However, if it comes to you and you get a check and then you deposit that check, there's an opportunity there that if you don't do it within 60 days, that it will be considered 100% of that as taxable income and as a distribution,
right? No.
Which one, that'll, you know, propel you into the highest tax bracket possible, probably. So we don't want that. And you're going to now erode your savings, right, by having to pay taxes on it. So in order to kind of like make sure and withhold the taxes and make sure that you don't come up with this tax liability, the IRS requires that when the 401k company sends you a check from your 401k for doing a rollover, that they withhold 20% in taxes.
Oh.
So you do not want that check made out to you. You want it made out to the bank that you're going to be depositing it in so that you avoid that withholding. You avoid any potential of that rollover getting treated as a distribution and not a rollover. So we want to make sure that we get that taken care of and done properly. Any financial advisor, any firm that's working with you to do this rollover will probably make sure and be on top of it to make sure it's done right. But just know, if you're doing it yourself, you're doing it with an online brokerage firm, you know, let's say you're opening up an account and Robinhood doesn't do it, but, you know, some online firm, let's say E-Trade, right, or TD Ameritrade Online, and you're not dealing with a person, make sure that you get them your 401k, sends a check directly to the custodian, the new bank, rather than to you.
That's such an important point, Leibold. And I'm wondering if your website, yieldsforyou.com, outlines and maybe even has some forms that our listeners can take advantage of.
So we don't have forms because every firm, right, every bank that you're going to be transferring money to has their own forms.
Mm-hmm.
And then your 401k company, right, wherever you got that money, they're going to have their own set of forms. And sometimes they'll say, yeah, we'll accept, you know, your new bank's form. Sometimes they'll want you to fill out something with your 401k company. And every 401k company is different because they're allowed to have their own rules. They're regulated by the Department of Labor, and they can create what's called, they have to create what's called a plan document that says, that basically outlines what their rules are for the 401k plan. So your friend may do it one way, and you may have to do it a completely different way because your plan is administered differently and has different rules under the Department of Labor guidelines. So what you need to know is that your right is, when you separate from your employer, you have the right to roll over your money to your own traditional IRA account or Roth account, Roth IRA account, depending on how your money is allocated in that 401k. And if you've got a mixture of pre-tax and after-tax money in your 401k, work with an accountant to do that rollover because it can get a little complicated.
Very interesting. Leibold Sternbach with us today. We're talking about what to do with your 401k when you retire. And so with all these steps, Leibold, I'm wondering, if I know that I'm going to retire and separate from my company on X date, at what point should we start making these plans and making steps to effect the rollovers and to make sure that we're managing our proceeds properly?
You want to start that before you separate. So if you've already talked to your employer and you know, and you're both on friendly terms of when you're going to be retiring, sometime before that, probably, you know, like 6 months before that, you want to start talking to HR. You want to start talking to your 401k provider. find out the information you need to know in order to make it happen, because 401ks, they move very, very slowly. HR moves very slowly. The amount of time it's going to take you to figure out what you need to do in order to make it happen, it'll be a lot easier if you're a current employee than a former employee.
Libel Sternbach with us. Now, what about the question that I posed earlier before I accidentally cut you off, before we fleshed out this particular point? What about paying off your mortgages? What about paying off your debts as you move into retirement? You've already just told us that we should start that planning at least 6 months before we go out from our company.
Yeah. So when it comes to debt and retirement in general, right? Debt in general, and then mortgage specifically, we'll talk about. But debt in general, the real question is it helping you or is it hurting you? Mm-hmm. And then that's the financial aspect. Then there's the emotional aspect, right? Does the debt carry a weight with you? Does it keep you up at night? Is it something that is on your mind and a burden where you worry about, will I be able to pay that off? Will the bank come and take away my home, right? If these are fears that you have on a regular basis, then there may be value in you not having debt so that you don't have that worry and you can focus on enjoying your retirement. Right. Mm-hmm. Because enjoying your retirement and living your life is priceless. And the years that you'll get back in longevity of not having that anxiety, right? We know that stress takes years off of your life. So not having that and that longevity, right? That's priceless. Your health is priceless. So you need to ask yourself that non-financial question of, you know, how much value is it to you to be debt-free?
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks so much for being with us. And today is National Go Fishing Day. National Go Fishing Day suggests that we drop a line into the nearest stream, the nearest pond, the nearest lake, or the nearest river. Oh, yes, and even the ocean, and just go fishing. Can you imagine the relaxation that takes place when you're out on the calm waters, just fishing and enjoying the sun? And here are today's words to the wise. Don't knock it until you try it. Today's words of the wise read, don't knock it until you try it. You can find these words and more in the book entitled Words of the Wise. For more information, FreddieBell.com. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And Kelly and I hope that somehow we would bring about a discovery this morning about what is essential for us in the great sense, and also in our sense as a spiritual community here at Unity South, because friends like our Minnesotan, the famous singer whose name I just forgot.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, thank you. The world, it is a-changing, and it's changing for spiritual communities, and it's changing within our Unity movement. And when I go to convention June 12th, we'll be looking at what's going on in our churches. And I plan to try to hold on to this. What I loved at first, that sense of discovery when I came into Unity, because that's the guiding light as we go forward. And routines change, way we do things, the service is different. So how do we approach a new world but also carry our love, our values, what's essential to us forward?
Well, and that's the whole point of remembering, because, you know, we beliefs change. truth remains.
Thank you.
And that truth is God is everywhere present. God is good. I am an expression of God, the divine. And yet I have choices to make. That's really one of the clenchers that had me stay here at Unity South, because while I was up sitting in the last row of pews crying, my children were downstairs and in Sunday school, and they were young. And I remember on the way home, I asked what they had done. And my oldest said, well, the teacher gave us a rock and we had to put a rock in our shoe. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then we got a piece of candy that we got to suck on. And so we had to walk around and we had a piece of candy in our mouth and a rock in our shoe. And then a few minutes later, the teacher asked us what we wanted to think more about, the rock in our shoe or the candy in our mouth. And I thought, that's it. Anybody who can make that kind of lesson be so meaningful to a small child in such a direct way, to let someone know you have a choice to make. This life isn't going to be, you're going to have rocks in your shoes. It's going to happen. You get to choose. And so I'm kind of curious about your journey. Because, you know, we get this, oh my gosh, I'm God and God is everywhere and God is good. But that doesn't mean smooth sailing for us right away. There's some stuff we got to work through. So I'm just curious about
Really?
Yeah. So the transformation happens and then we have to go back into, you know, the family systems or the church systems or the old belief systems, and there's a reconciliation process. And so just what can you share about that new sort of...
Well, the memories are flooding in. And I remember being raised in Sunday school, and I have this vivid memory of being there, and the minister happened to come to Sunday school. This is a big deal. And he said, who here believes in miracles? And I was lost in thought. All the kids put their hands up, and I didn't. Oh, James doesn't believe in miracles.
Mm.
Ooh. And I saw the looks. My older brother came home from Sunday school and told his mother, teacher said, I have to stand up and admit I'm a sinner. And he was only about 7 years old. He said, Mom, I don't feel like a sinner. Well, as a good protective mother, my mother marched into the minister's office. Our family was new to the church. And she said, let's just get something straight. If my children are going to be taught that they're sinners at this tender age, we're out of here. And they said, we'll talk to the Sunday school director. And that teaching was dropped. So at least for a while, my mother made a difference.
Good going, Mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we go on and we can continue to travel that road of life and we grow up. And I had to hold on to that thought of divinity that included me. That included me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went through the challenges and the doubts of growing up and then young adulthood, I had to continue to return and hold to that truth, because I felt the world was telling me in a lot of ways and at a lot of times I wasn't good enough for a variety of reasons, actually. And holding on to that truth that made, as Myrtle Fillmore called it in Unity, the inherent logic of your mind. And I kept saying, wait, God created this amazing universe of which I am a part. So I have to have value. And I remember in the middle of the night on the college campus, raising my fist to the sky like that scene with Scarlett O'Hara and mm-hmm. Gone with I'll Never Be Hungry Again.
Mm-hmm.
But raising my hand because the other hand was holding a razor blade.
Mm.
And I thought, this is the turning point.
Mm.
It's death or it's I will never hate myself again.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I am good. I am a part of this world. And as I told my minister later, I said, I don't need the Bible, Scripture, or the church to justify my right to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So there's got to be something fundamental that we hold on to, because those times come throughout the week for us,
absolutely.
And frankly, they come throughout the day many times. And my only feeling about progress and spiritual growth is I've noticed where a difficult experience could knock me off my feet for several weeks. Now, it's usually only a couple of hours before I regain my composure, and it's like, well, thank you, God. I'm making some progress here.
Yeah, yes. Well, and I that ultimately is the reason why we wanted to focus on that remembering, because we build that spiritual muscle. We build that spiritual muscle that says, you know what? Somebody's got to stop participating in this insanity, and I guess that somebody's going to be me. You know, that means I'm going to sit down, I'm going to take the rock out of my shoe, and it might come back, but it comes back as a pebble. And as we work through this stuff and get to a place where we do have that spiritual foundation and that spiritual muscle, I need to hold on to it for me so I can create a space for others to dive into it as well.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Now it's time to see what's going on for the new beginners out there. Let's bring in Three Things with Cassie Crandall.
Thank you, Freddie. This week's thing number one. Did you know that just over 0.3% of university students are over the age of 65? Wow. I thought I was old going back to school in my early 50s, but apparently I am not alone, and I'm one of the younger, older people who are making this choice. I think a lot of us, maybe when we started out in our youth, maybe we started college and life got in the way. For me, it was a full-time job and then getting married and starting a family, and those goals just kind of slipped away. But I never stopped thinking about them. I knew that, or at least I thought I knew, that going back to school later in life, that I would be the oldest person in my class, and I had to wrap my head around that a little bit. What would it be like? Well, what I really found was pretty amazing. I found amazing professors that were cheering me on, that really wanted me to succeed, especially when it came to math. That was the scariest part for me. I even got an A in the first math class I took. It was amazing to me. And what encouragement that was. I also found that my classmates were great. Yeah, many of them were high school students who were dual enrolled. Some of them were just out of high school. And some were in their 20s and even 30s. They were so supportive of me. They had respect for me. They didn't mind being in a group with me. And when I shared experiences that I had had when I was younger in school that, you know, were negative, they empathized with me because they had gone through similar things. And so we had this connection, even though I was so much older than they were. In one of my classes, I found it to be extremely interesting and reassuring is that our brain is amazing, if we didn't already realize that, but our brain is capable of learning and changing up until the day we die. We can continue to learn new things to grasp new information. And more students being over the age of 60 and 65, wow, that's amazing. But look at us. We're living so much longer. Let's keep learning. Good for you all who are getting after it, getting an education, going to clubs, staying active, because I tell you what, keeping active not only physically but mentally is so important as we age. And for my thing number two, you ever have those people in your life that are negative? My husband likes to call them negative Nellies. They bring you down. They just don't see good things in life. They don't smile a lot. And they kind of drain your energy after a while, I think. Anyway, I saw this quote and it spoke to me. When the wrong people leave your life, the right things start happening. I think that's accurate. So often we maybe are holding back because of the people that we've invited into our circle in our lives, and maybe they're not the best choices for us. Maybe these friends and sometimes family members don't have our best interests in mind. Maybe they're not our cheerleaders. So maybe if we look at, do I want that person in my life? Do I want to be spending a lot of time with them? If they suck all my energy and leave me feeling drained? I try to be a positive person, and I really try to surround myself with other positive people. So if you're draining my energy, I don't know. That's my thing number two. And last but not least, I'm going to share a quote with you from Molière. It is not only what we do, but also what we do not do for which we are accountable. Let me read that again. It is not only what we do, but also what we do not do for which we are accountable. Think about that. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
It's time for It Happened This Week. The Biden administration is closely watching the economy. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that after being asked about President Biden's level of concern regarding a possible recession. She added that addressing inflation is crucial for the president. Members of a white nationalist group will have to return to Idaho for their initial court appearance next month. A judge turned down their request for video arraignments. The 31 members of the Patriot Front allegedly planned to riot at a Pride event. Spotify is forming a safety advisory council that following the controversy around the Joe Rogan Experience. The podcast was accused of spreading misinformation regarding COVID-19 in addition to the use of derogatory remarks. Spotify says it made the move to address safety issues and is not a response to any particular creator or situation. And the nation's capital flew 51 star flags along Pennsylvania Avenue to send a message to Congress on Flag Day. Mayor Muriel Bowser is challenging the United States Senate to pass the D.C. Admission Act. It would bring the district one step closer to becoming the 51st state. It happened this week, and this is New Beginnings. Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And we turn our attention now to AARP Minnesota, and we have the chance to talk with Kathy McLear. She is the state director for AARP here in the state. And welcome back, Kathy. We've got a really exciting topic to talk about today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Freddie. I appreciate it.
We've seen a number of states go through with their primary elections. The first glance before we get to the general election in November, and Minnesota's is coming up really soon this summer. Can you talk about voting in Minnesota, and what would be a key thing that we would need to know as voters in this state?
Yeah, so I think the really important thing, Freddie, is to understand that Americans 50 and older are our nation's most powerful voters, and they will be the deciders in the 2022 election. One of the things, AARP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and we really pride ourselves on providing Minnesotans with trusted information about the 2022 elections and making sure that candidates will keep their promises. And so we're going to be calling on candidates to propose solutions that address some of the challenges that are facing voters 50 plus. I mean, we're all hit with higher inflation, right? Increasing prices that are going higher than wages, retirement savings, healthcare issues, cost of prescription drugs. We want candidates to keep those things top of mind as we are heading to the polls before we make those decisions.
Will there be an opportunity for a listening session or a chance to meet the candidates prior to the elections?
So AARP is really committed to making sure people have whatever information they need to know where and how to vote, certainly safely. We know that during the 2020 elections, that was a really big thing, right? I think, you know, we're kind of coming out the other end of that, but it is going to be really important for folks to understand how they can vote, where they can vote. We know with some of the redistricting that where you vote might be different than it was in the past. And so we want to provide an opportunity for folks to really understand from some of our election offices across Minnesota what some of those changes might be, anything that's new or different, where those voting places might be, you know, during this election year. So just really helping people understand where, when, and how to vote, and what that voting process is in Minnesota. And we do have an event coming up on June 22nd. It's a virtual event, really easy to participate in, and folks can register for that at aarp.org/MN events.
So at this event on June 22nd, do you know who some of the special guests will be at this time?
Yeah, we're so grateful that election officials from the city of St. Louis Park and Blue Earth, Hennepin, and Ramsey counties, they're going to be joining us. You know, these are the folks who are in the trenches, and they know the ins and outs of getting it done, right, how you can cast your ballot. And it's going to be a great conversation about voting in the Minnesota elections this year.
In your opinion, Kathy McClear, that's who we're talking with right now. She is the state director for AARP Minnesota. In your opinion, and from the perspective of AARP, would health care still be the number one issue concerning those who are 50 and over and are your members?
Oh, Freddie, it's a huge issue. So, I mean, right now at the federal level, we are working on some prescription drug initiatives to help bring down the cost of prescription drugs. We know that Americans pay three times as much as individuals pay in other countries for their prescription medications. And we really believe that getting Medicare to have the ability to negotiate for lower drug prices will help everyone, not just those 50 plus or those on Medicare or in the Medicare system, but really for everyone. So prescription drugs and healthcare, absolutely critical, top of mind. And again, when our elected officials make those promises, we got to remember that, and we need to hold them accountable. And one way to do that is at the ballot box.
I have to ask you about one final topic, and that is Social Security and taxing of Social Security benefits. Where does AARP stand on that?
Yeah, so this is one of those pieces of unfinished business from the legislature this year. Mm-hmm. And AARP was working very hard to have a balanced approach to make sure that low and middle income individuals in Minnesota were not paying Minnesota state income tax on those Social Security benefits. There was some an agreement among the tax committee conferees, but as you know, there has been no special session called, and we really believe that that's some unfinished business that we would love the legislature to come back and address and get that work done.
How can our listeners, your members, and those who are 50 plus, and those who are interested in these topics get more information about the work that you're doing with regard to voting and these important issues from AARP?
Yeah, they can find it all on our website, aarp.org/MN.
She's Kathy McClear, the state director for AARP Minnesota. Thanks for being with us, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you, Freddie.
And this is New Beginnings. You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area. Thanks so much to our special guest, Lybel Sternbach, also Cassie Crandall, of course, Kathy McClear from AARP Minnesota, and our friends over at Unity South Twin Cities. Thank you for making a difference in our lives. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. For everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell, saying that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you again next week.